This is the Should Have Bet More podcast, presented by Goal Boys Network. Here's your host, Will Hill.
Welcome to the Should Have Bet More podcast, presented by Goal Boys. Coming up on the show, Ricky G, NBA Twitter legend, will join us. We'll go over game two of the NBA Finals, the Pacers and the Thunder. The Thunder have even the series. No comebacks tonight as we're recording this. The Pacers, the Thunder, I should say, putting the finishing touches on this one. And this was just a thorough, dominating victory for OKC. And you could look at it like a lot of things. You could look at it one of two ways. You could say, you know what, the Pacers are 1-1. When you're the road team, 1-1, you did your job, you got a split. The Pacers, it's all you can ask for. And there's a lot of truth to that. That you would have, if you're the Pacers, a Pacers fan, coach, whatever, if I told you Thursday morning before the game, you know what, you're 1-1 headed home, you would have signed in an instant for that, without even thinking twice about that. But the other way of looking at this series right now is that OKC has dominated basically 98% of it. And if not for a hiccup in the final minutes there of game number one, this game, you know, this series is 2-0, and this series is basically, you know, we're moving on to football season and baseball and other things. This isn't even anything worth discussing, but it is 1-1. We'll get ready here for a game number three in Indiana on Wednesday. Waiting for a line to pop up here. I'm sure we'll have one in a matter of moments here. They're just dribbling out the clock basically the last minute or two here. Total still in play. OKC is going to cover. We'll see if this one gets over at the end. But I would imagine OKC, I don't know, 5-point favorite, something like that. They were 11.5 in game number two, 10.5 in game number one. A couple points for home court either way. Probably five and a half, something like that would be my guess. But OKC is probably going to get one of these in Indy. They'll probably come home at least 2-2. And then, you know what, best of three with five at home, seven at home. So very dangerous to count this Pacers team out. But Oklahoma City is not just the better team. They are the much better team. So, you know, Halliburton, not really a factor until late. He put up some points in garbage time, but he was very quiet. He has a lot of these for a really good player, and he is a really good player. He has a lot of these where he just completely no-shows in terms of, you know, points, assists. He's just very passive. But hey, you can't kill. And even in game one, he wasn't great until the shot. You can't kill him too much though, because he's hit about three or four of the most iconic shots, you know, in recent playoff memory. He's all hit. He's hit them all basically, you know, within the last month or so. So, not as much to talk about here as game one. I'm still, man, that was one after game one where, you know, usually I can you know, gather my thoughts and just try to put it in perspective. Game one was still just so shocking where you've had all of these comeback wins by the Pacers, the Bucks down 7, 30 seconds left, the Cavs, the Knicks one, which I still think was the craziest, then the game one. It's, you know, if this stuff happened in a sports movie, everyone would laugh at it and say, you know, this doesn't happen in sports. They need to make it more realistic. It's just, it's a ridiculous, ridiculous run here that the Pacers have been on. But I would think OKC at one point or another here, I don't think the Pacers are done winning games in the series. Maybe they win one more, but I think that that OKC is going to take control of this series here, you know, and win it in some form or fashion. I thought OKC in four going in, but you know what? And look, if not for a couple minutes or just a, you know, play here or there, I mean, that was OKC's game for 85-90% of it. Looked exactly how it looked. I thought it was going to look. It always, you know, you pick a team to sweep and they lose game one. It is a little bit embarrassing, but I didn't feel like watching that game that I was that far off. But I don't know, OKC in six, probably. I still don't think it goes seven. I still don't think the Pacers win. Feels disrespectful to not give the Pacers any games going forward. But remember the Miami, and this Pacers team does remind me a little bit of Miami, just with, you know, proving people wrong. And there's some, you know, just keep outperforming expectations. The Miami team from 2 years ago that lost to Denver, that was 1-1 going back to Miami. And Denver drilled them in game three, drilled them in game four, and then closed them out in game five. Game five got pretty tough. This reminds me a little bit of that. So I wouldn't be shocked if OKC got both in Indy. I wouldn't be shocked, but I do expect them to get one here going forward, get the split, and, you know, take care of business from there. So good performance by OKC. They needed it. They got it. They're a couple of minutes away here from, you know, being up 2-0. Just a bad possession here or there. It's amazing they blew that game one, but at least put some juice in this finals. Again, if this was 2-0 going back to Indy, we wouldn't have much to talk about. Series would be, you know, basically over in the next 4 or 5 days. And it wouldn't be any interest, you know, barring a miracle here. So At least we got some juice. It's 1-1, and maybe Indy can put up a fight and make this a long series. As far as a few of the other things from the weekend, man, not much of a tennis guy. Don't talk much tennis on here. The Sinner-Alcaraz match was one of the great Grand Slam finals you're ever going to see Sunday morning. 5.5 hours. Alcaraz was down 2 sets to 1 and 3 match points away from losing that fourth set. 65-1 on the money line at DraftKings. He rallies. He wins set four. He wins set five. Just an incredible, incredible match, incredible comeback. Just nothing like the competition of tennis, just because, you know, it's 1-on-1. You can't rely on your teammates. Your teammates can't bail you out. It's 1-on-1, and there's just so much drama. And that was a tremendous, tremendous tennis match. The Yankees losing 2 out of 3 to Boston. That's a bad series loss. The Yankees still have some flaws. The Yankees are a good team. The American League is not great. Pretty good bullpen, good lineup. Judge is just maybe, one of the 3 or 4 best right-handed hitters to ever play the game. I mean, he's that good. He's just on another level. When you're hitting 399 or whatever he is, and league average is 244, man, it's just you run out of words to describe Judge. But they've got some flaws. You saw it in the Dodger series, you see it in the Red Sox series. Boone still in a big spot. It's tough to trust. So the Yankees, nothing much to panic about. I don't trust Toronto to hunt them down. I don't know that Boston can get back in the AL East. Boston always plays them tough. Feels like every time ever since Yankee Stadium, it's a home run. He's just, man, such an unbelievable hitter. And he is a nightmare for Yankee fans, especially when he's in this ballpark. It's just such a perfect swing for Yankee Stadium. And such a just a dominant hitter. He owns the Yankees. He just wears them out no matter who's pitching, no matter what the situation. Devers, you can just count on him putting one in the seats basically every game he's at Yankee Stadium. But Yankees still have some flaws. Not a perfect team. Rodon was not great, to say the least, on Sunday. But you know what? He was due for one. He's been fine. Him and Fried have been good. Still not a great rotation. Warren is okay, but he's up and down. Schmidt's okay. Yarborough, there's a ceiling there. There's a shelf life there. He's nothing more than a journeyman. So Yankees probably need another starting pitcher. We'll see if Luis Gil can come back at some point. But the Red Sox win 2 out of 3. And the Red Sox, we'll see if some of these teams, talked about this last week, some of these teams can get off the mat, because there are a lot of disappointing teams in baseball right now. The Braves, the Diamondbacks, the Red Sox, the Rangers, and the Orioles. Five teams who, all we expected to be in the playoffs at least. If not 50-50 to be in the playoffs, much, much higher. The Braves win total was 93.5. Red Sox, everybody loved. Diamondbacks signed Burns, and he's gone now for basically 2 years. These are teams that everybody had high expectations for, and just a lot of disappointing teams. And I don't know any of the five are getting back. And how about Atlanta? Atlanta's now lost 7 in a row. They've lost every game in June, all of them by one run, which is really, really remarkable. The fact that you lost all of my one run, they blew a 6-run lead on Thursday. Their bullpen's blowing leads. So some disappointing teams. They are now up to +350 to make the playoffs. And they're only ahead of the Pirates, the Marlins, the Rockies. They're 3 games beyond the Nationals, are the Braves. So extremely, extremely disappointing here for the Braves. And I think I made the point last week. The season's long, but the season is not eternal. You're 10 games under 500 here. It's not a th There's a lot of time left in the season. The season's long, but the season doesn't last forever. So, this idea that you can just climb back into it, you got a lot of teams to catch, unless you're going to win, 13 out of 15, 10 in a row. I mean, you got to win 10 in a row just to get back to 500. So, it is getting early. It is getting late early here for the Braves, who are just, look, short shots to win that division. I mean, nobody saw this coming, really. Strider was coming back. Acuña was coming back. All this talent. Strider has not been that good, which is surprising. So very surprising for the Braves to be this bad. And you're going to have some teams that are sellers. The Diamondbacks, Gallen and Kelly. You go if these teams that I just mentioned, the five that I just mentioned, are sellers, and they're not going to give you any other young players, but they're going to sell you some veterans. You're going to have guys on the market that you didn't expect. So something to keep an eye on here as we'll do more baseball here as the NBA winds down. But coming up next, Ricky G will get his thoughts on the NBA game three, the series going forward. That is next. This is Should've Bet More Podcast. All right, we are back. Should've Bet More Podcast. He is a legend on NBA Twitter, and he joins us now to talk a little NBA Finals. It is the great Ricky G. Ricky, appreciate you coming on, man. This is long overdue. I appreciate you joining me. How's everything?
Everything's great. Appreciate you having me on. I've been waiting to get on with you. You have some big names on your show, bro. I'm just trying to hang out with you.
And I got another big name. I got you now. So it's all good. I appreciate it. Let's start here. The Thunder went 123-107. They win the game. What did you expect coming into the series, and where are you now with this? As we're 1-1 headed back to Indy.
Wow. Where did I, I'm not sure where I was with it. I mean, I thought it was OKC series to lose. And I thought the first game, everybody knee-jerked and overreacted on the collapse. So I wasn't surprised at it. I think this is just very simple to me. I mean, there's a lot of things we can talk about. We can look at the numbers. But for me, OKC's defense is just criminal. They're tough. They keep them out of the paint. They can't get no good looks. Everything's contested. They swarm the ball when they do get in the paint. To me, it's just okay. OKC's defense, it's criminal.
Yeah, they remind me a little bit of the you're a football guy too, the 2000 Ravens, where it's just, man, there's no, the gaps get closed up so quickly. We saw him do it to Jokic. The passing lanes just get, they're there, and then it's just it ends up being a turnover the other way. They're just so fast, they're so quick. They are very impressive. Would you lay the five here? We do have a line here for game three. OKC is laying five. Would that interest you either way?
Wow. Okay, now hold on. Now you can fact check me on this, but if I'm correct, OKC hasn't covered a road game yet in the playoffs.
That is correct.
See, that's a big number for a team that hasn't covered on the road.
I would agree. I would tend to agree, but I don't know. It does feel like one way or another. I'm not looking to lay the five. I'm not dying to lay the five. It does feel like, I'm curious what you think, one way or another here, OKC gets one of these in Indy and goes back 2-2. Would you agree with that? And if you were Indy right now, would you sign for a split headed back to OKC 2-2? Or would you feel like, you know what? I got to win both of these. I got to be up 3-1 to really have a chance to pull the upset.
I can see a split, but I wouldn't be shocked if OKC went and got the next two. OKC's really dominated 90% of this series
Yes.
in the first two games. They've controlled everything. I mean, the overreaction on the lineup change, the overreaction on the bad 5 to 8 minute collapse. They've dominated. Their defense is just, here's one thing we know we're going to get. OKC's going to play good defense. Now, will they make shots too? That's the difference.
Did you see this Pacers run coming at all?
No. Halliburton and I, we talk once in a while. He set me up for some games in LA. Since the All-Star break, Halliburton's been one of the best players in the NBA. It's all the Pacers. If you look at the numbers, the record, and everything, I'm not surprised. And then you got the East. I'm not surprised. And they got a bunch of hoopers. This is a good finals to watch because it's a bunch of hoopers on the floor. There's not very many specialists playing. I think the MVP, if the MVP finals MVP tonight, it'd be SGA, but the guy who would be second would be Caruso, in my view.
It's funny you mentioned that. I saw him at 200-1. I think he was 200-1. I said, you know what? He's probably not going to win. These things usually go to the stars, but just in sheer sense of the value, like the word value, he probably shouldn't be 200-1. He is such a man. He is just such a winning player. It's crazy.
I think he's their second best player right now.
Yeah, it's not crazy at all. OKC -500 for the series. Pacers, a little shy of +400. That doesn't do anything for you. You feel like this is going to be OKC. It's OKC one way or another, it seems like.
Yeah, I can't see Indy beating them four times with that defense. That would surprise me.
Any adjustments you would make, or you think Carlisle will make? And Carlisle's tremendous. I mean, the fact that he was able to win with a grinded out style team like he had with the Pistons and the Pacers in the early 2000s. Now he's winning with this up tempo team with the Pacers. I mean, he's just such a good coach, a versatile coach. The Dallas run he had. Do you think he has any tricks up his sleeve? Would you go to a zone? I know they went to a zone a little bit late in
No,
this game, try to make them shooters. What would you do? What could they do?
I think he's going to take a look at that defending out at half court and trapping SGA. I think he's going to look at that. That high ball screen with SGA and him splitting it is eating him up now. They may have to pull back on that because they're picking SGA up high, and then they're trying to trap him. He's splitting that trap. And then when he splits that trap, they're dead. It's an open corner three or a high lob for a dunk or him getting a mid-range. They're gonna have to correct something with them, but I don't know if they can.
How about the OKC perspective? The two bigs or the one big, Holmgren only played 23 minutes in game one. Hartenstein only 17 minutes. Do you think that the bigs are the way to go? What do you think is the optimal strategy here for the Thunder?
Well, I think I'd have to look at the tape, but I think the OKC played the two bigs mostly when Bradley and Toppin were on the floor together. Once they one of them subbed out, and then Coach Mark took the other big out. But I'd have to look at the tape to see if that's exactly what I saw.
So you think, just trying to read between the lines here, it sounds like you think OKC in either five or six. If I had to pin you down to which one would you go with?
I don't think they're going to win four in a row. I'd say six.
Okay, yeah, that's probably where I'm at. It feels disrespectful after everything the Pacers have been through here, to not
Pacers
get one
need to
more.
get hot one game and make some three balls and beat them.
Yeah, no, I would agree. Have you ever seen a more ridiculous run of comebacks in any sport by any team than what we've seen in the Pacers here this last month? Starting with Milwaukee down seven with 30 seconds left. The Cavs, they were down eight with a minute change left. The crazy Knicks game in game one, and then OKC in game one. Have you ever seen anything like this?
No, I haven't. This is my 58th finals. I haven't seen that. This is the first time I've seen an up-tempo game, and yet OKC has slowed the tempo down for Indiana. I mean, what was the final score tonight? What'd they hold them to?
123-107, which is interesting. The total was two tw the over under was 228.5. It just went over at the end. There were some points in garbage time. It was trending under pretty much the entire game, but they traded buckets. It got a little sloppy with the defense late. So Thunder win 123-107. The game does go over.
Them odds makers are good, bro.
Yes.
I mean, them guys, they just have no emotions. I mean, everybody was hitting my line today about the 10.5, the 11, 11.5. These guys don't knee jerk. They just stay the course, and they believe in their system.
Yeah, no doubt about it. You have a gambling background, because you always know the odds. What is your betting background?
Been around the odds maker since I was about 8 years old.
Okay.
Family. And
Okay.
then I was involved in the book for about 20 some years.
All right. Have you ever thought about writing a book and telling some of these stories, or are these stories that you just got to take to the grave?
Don't know if they're that interesting, but I have a ton of stories. I have some very interesting stories. Yeah, I don't know. I've never thought about it that I'm that important, but I have some very interesting stories with the wise guys. And I lived in Vegas for a while, so. I was around the Stu Unger era, so yeah, I got some stories, but I don't know if anybody wants to hear them. But I can tell you about bad beats. I could do a 2 hour pod on bad beats that would make you just sick.
NBA offseason stuff. We'll do a couple more before we get you out of here and let you go. Where do you think Giannis plays next year? It sounds like, it seemed like that night Lillard got hurt, it was a Sunday night in the playoffs. It felt over for the Bucks. Giannis is going to go. He's going to be unhappy. The way the East is shaping up, maybe they don't trade him now. Do you think Giannis gets traded? And if so, where is he playing here in August or September?
Well, the streets are saying he's going to stay in Milwaukee.
Yeah. You buy that?
First of all, the East, that's going to be interesting because the West has about what, eight teams, maybe 10 teams that all could be a top four seed.
It's incredibly unbalanced when you think that the Mavs are about to get Cooper Flagg, the Lakers have Luka, Jokic, the OKC's dominant, Spurs with Wemby. I mean, you go down the line. The Clippers, Memphis isn't bad. I mean, you just rattle off 9, 10 teams easy that are just stacked. It is completely imbalanced.
Where do you see my Warriors with three guys having all the salary cap at 38 years old or whatever they are? Where do you see them moving forward?
Pretty much where they were this year, where you know what, you get a break and maybe you win a round, and then who knows from there. But it's hard to see, and that's why I was so disappointed Curry got hurt, because this felt like his last chance possibly to get back to a conference finals. As much as I love watching him play, and look, it felt like, you know what, it felt like that title in 2000, what, 21 into 22, it felt like that one was the cherry on top title. That was the storybook ending for Curry. Don't you agree with that or no?
Yeah, no, I agree with
Yeah.
that. And they had a lot fall in their lap, and then they got, they landed Wiggins, probably had his best year, especially playoff round.
Yes.
And then they had Poole. Poole was good that year with them. Poole helped them win a champ, you know. But I wasn't as high on the Warriors this year as a lot of my fan base was after they ran off the streak after the trade. I just didn't see it. I just thought they had a soft schedule, a lot of players not playing, and the books got cooked.
Yeah, and they drew a very good two seed for them. I mean, the fact that the Rockets were a two seed, that's
Right.
not a typical two seed. That was a good, that was a good draw for them. Where do you think Durant ends up?
Man. You know, that's a tough one. I could see Durant landing in the East somewhere.
Knicks, Towns for Durant. Does that make sense to you or no?
That could make, what has Brooklyn got in assets as far as draft picks?
They got most of their stuff. You're saying Brooklyn?
Yeah.
You think Brooklyn would go back to Durant?
But the team in the East, if they could get Durant, the one team that he could help, in my view, would be Orlando.
Oh, that's a good one. I hadn't thought of that. That's a really good one. Yeah, they need the scoring, they need the shooting. That's actually a really
Yeah,
good one.
they got everything. I think if they can hold on to all that and not give up much and get Durant, that they move up a few notches.
You know what? That's a really good call. And if they got Durant to go with their young guys, to go with Franz and Banchero, I mean, it's not crazy that they're in the second, maybe third round if things break right. If they can get a healthy Durant with all of their young talent, that's a good call. I hadn't thought of that team for them for Durant.
Yeah, I would. And if Durant went to the West, I don't know. You hear Warriors rumblings. You hear, who's the other one? I heard another one recently. You know the
Houston,
team that,
Houston needs
you know the
shooting.
team.
Houston would make sense from that perspective, but I don't know. Durant, you put him with the Spurs. I don't know. I mean, it's those probably handful of teams.
You know the team in the West. Everybody talks Warriors and Denver and Lakers. You know the one team in the West, if you look back, they really had a bad beat and it cost them on a dunk at the buzzer, is the Clippers.
It's a great point. It's a great point. It's possible. The three best teams in the league were not only in the West, but on the same side of the bracket in the
That's
West
right.
with the
Yeah.
Nuggets, the Clippers, and then the Thunder, them all just eating each other up. No, it's a good point. Clippers let that one get away, got blown out in game seven, and that would have been an interesting series, the Clippers versus OKC. And Denver looks even better. The more the Thunder play here, the
Exactly.
deeper they go, the better that Jokic and the Nuggets look.
What about KD to Minnesota? That's the one I was hearing in the West.
What's that trade look like?
I don't know. Do they do a sign and trade with Naz Reid?
I don't know. It's hard for me because I don't know how all this cap stuff works with the
Yeah, I
second
don't
apron.
either.
All these guys say the trades are much more difficult now, so it's hard to just float these trades, but that would be interesting.
Well, the second apron, if I now don't this is just what I've been told. I don't know how accurate it is. If you're in a second apron, you can only do a one for one. You can't do like three for one to make the money work.
Right. I think that's
That's a
true.
problem.
Yeah,
That's
I
a
think that's
problem.
true. Did you think Thibodeau getting fired was deserved by the Knicks? Did you think that was a rough deal, a rough shake there for Thibodeau?
Okay. Here's what I got to say. Let's say you and I are going to go in the interview process with the Knicks. Let's say you call me, you work for the Knicks, and you're going to interview me for that job. My first question to you is, why did you fire him? My second question is, if I don't win 10 playoff games, I'm getting fired. So nobody could drink water around here. We're only going to be able to drink champagne and we're all gone. How's that even possible? What are we doing here?
I think based on result, it was extremely, extremely harsh. The fact that they upset Boston, they beat Detroit. My only guess is they think that the only way for them to win a championship, they don't have a championship team, that they need to take a chance and just get a great coach instead of a good coach, and that Tibbs didn't play his bench and he wasn't adaptable and he was stubborn. That being said, and I know Knicks fans are not crying that he's gone. It's pretty split, I think, among Knicks fans. I thought it was a pretty rough deal, though.
Well, let's look at the history after Tibbs leaves the team. It's not good. Look when he left the Bulls, not good. He left Minnesota, not good. I think, to be honest, I think Tibbs was fired before that round. I think they were done with him. And I think Tibbs was told to play the bench. I don't think he wanted to. I think he was told to.
So what do
And
you
then
think
they
they
played
fired him for?
minutes. He just no. He doesn't adapt on that minute. That minutes issue is a history, and
Yeah.
it does come up somewhere along the line. Is when he's there with the team. He does. He plays his players way too many minutes in the regular season for what? But here's the question I'm going to ask the Knicks if I'm sitting in the interview. How many games do I have to win? And I can't drink water. I can only drink champagne. Are you guys telling me you can win a chip with your two best players who can't guard a chair? Is that what you guys are telling me?
Totally agree. That's a very flawed roster. It's a good team, especially in the East. Look, they were, game or two away. If not for the miracle in game one against the Pacers, they're probably playing a game seven, and who knows? They're maybe going to the finals, and we're talking about them. They'd be getting steamrolled by the Thunder right now, but they'd be in the finals. That being said, there's a difference. I always say this. You can go from bad to decent in the NBA, and you can go from decent to good. It's very, very hard to go from good to great in the NBA, and being a title team is very difficult.
Let's go back to the trade. I think both teams made the trade, Randall and Cat, because they didn't think they could win with the player they had. Do they believe they can win with the player they have now?
Probably not.
See, here's where I'm going to have a problem with the Knicks. They fired Tibbs. Now they're going to make a bunch of trades and blow this roster up. Now they're just contradicting themselves.
What do you think they do?
Oh, they're going to make a move. They have to. The
And
bench
what?
isn't any good. First of all, is
No.
there anybody on the bench you want to play?
No, I thought they could have. I thought Shamet and Wright could have played a little bit more. Not that they're great, or if
They
there's
can
some
eat minutes.
solution, but they could eat minutes. It's a great way of putting it. They could eat minutes.
I don't know, but the East is going to be, with Tatum's injury, what is the East next year? Indiana, Indy, and Orlando, and Detroit. See, the Knicks could have lost to Detroit.
Yes.
So, I mean, I just think the Knicks were. I think there was a problem. I think there was a backroom problem with Tibbs and the management. They were going to fire him anyways. And they were hoping, I hope this isn't true, but were the Knicks hoping they didn't get to the finals? Because then they would have had to keep him.
I mean, they would have. You couldn't have fired him if you got to the finals. You just couldn't have sold that one. That would have been a tough one. So,
I would hope to believe when they fired him, they knew who they are already going to hire.
and who do you think that is?
That I don't know, but I got to believe they already got their guy. Because if they fired Tibbs without having their guy, that is rolling the dice.
Do you buy this idea that they would hire the assistant Bryant, or they would go, Malone?
Know, well, first of all, I got to be careful. Johnny Bryant, I've known Johnny Bryant since he was in high school. He's from Oakland.
Okay.
Great guy. I had something told to me from a very good source a couple days ago. Johnny Bryant was in Utah. Okay. I was told Tibbs didn't hire Johnny Bryant. That the management team did, the ownership. Their thinking was Johnny Bryant, who's very close to Mitchell, could bring Mitchell to New York.
Ah.
When Mitchell went to Cleveland, that Bryant thing, that was it. I was gone. He's back down to Cleveland with Mitchell. So if that's true, that means Johnny Bryant was just, they were trying to land a big free agent through his relationship.
And the fact that Brunson is on this, Brunson's dad's on the staff, makes it awkward too.
And that's another thing. I was told that Brian and Brunson's dad weren't like, they're not going out to dinner together.
Interesting.
Now,
Interesting.
that's just what the streets. I haven't talked to Johnny, but I would, I know a couple guys that follow me that are real close to him. I haven't asked him about it, but that's what I was told.
So you have no feel on who they might go here for a coach?
Well, they got to go big name because they got to win 10 games and drink champagne or it's a failure.
Yeah, it's a tough
They
spot. The only big
put
name is
themselves in
Malone.
a bad spot. They should. I think Tibbs earned one more year, but you get one more year. But let's get a better bench, and you got to play him.
Yeah, no, I think that's probably fair. Ricky G, man, appreciate this. This was fun. Any parting thoughts? Anything before we go here on the final that you want to add?
No, just we got what, four more games, maybe five more games in the summer league, and then we got the NFL. I know you're a big player in the NFL, bro.
NFL's coming soon. We got July 31st, I think, is the Hall of Fame game. So 6, 7 weeks.
I stay away from exhibition football. I don't even want to see it. It
All
affects my wagering. I stay away from it. I don't even watch it.
right, Ricky, let everyone know where they can find you, man. Appreciate you coming on.
And hey, Richard Goodman. Thanks, Mr. Hill. You're the best, man. I think you're the. I think you're under the radar. I think you're one of the best followers on my list, and I think your pod. I mean, look at the guys you have on your pod. You play with some big boys.
I get the good guests, and I just come on here and I play point guard and I let you guys do all the work. I throw you the ball and get out of the way.
Respect, man. That's how it should be. Ask the questions, let them answer, and go after them.
All right, man. This was long overdue. I appreciate it, man. We'll do it again soon, hopefully.
Thanks. I appreciate you, man.
All right, that'll do it. Thank you to Ricky G. We'll be back Wednesday. Goldboys.com is the Discord. Rate, review, subscribe, add Apple, Spotify, wherever you can do it. We appreciate it. See you Wednesday.